coming in as Loeb. Gilladyke centered it.
Going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, it is Wednesday, March 20th. Welcome to this hour of Flames Talk. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. Yeah, it's Pat Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson along with you. And let's just dive right in, because really excited and happy and grateful to talk to our next guest and the gentleman who's going to help us kick off this hour on Flames Talk. He is the one, the only, Lanny McDonald, who joins us on the line right now, joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Lanny, it is great to have you on the line, my friend. It's awesome to hear from you. How are we doing?
We are doing very good. It's great to be on the line with you, let me tell you.
That is good to hear. It's good to hear that, Lanny, chuckle. I got to ask you, and I would encourage everybody to go on over to sportsnet.ca. Our colleague Eric Francis had a great chat with you and Ardell, really enlightening stuff. So I just want to start right off the bat and take you back to Saturday night in the game that the Flames won over the Montreal Canadiens and the ovation that you got that night. How much did what happened on Saturday mean to you, Lanny?
I'm not even sure you can put it in words. and I'll get all emotional all over again because, quite frankly, I didn't know what to expect. It was truly unbelievable and overwhelming at the same time to see all the people cheering and standing, and it meant a tremendous amount to me, and to on such a great night honoring the 89 team and having seven of my teammates all around that night, hanging out, having a few laughs together was actually the best therapy you could possibly imagine.
Yeah. Since what happened in early February, can you describe the outpouring that you and Ardell have received, whether it's alumni or fans, the hockey world? Can you put that into words?
I don't know if I can, I received hundreds and hundreds of text messages and emails with so many people just saying, don't bother writing back. We just wanted to let you know we care. And those are people from the hockey world, people, old teammates, people from the oil and gas business that I had worked with for 15 years before taking over as chairman of the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto, and people that I hadn't talked to in years. And it was so unbelievably therapeutic. And it was a great reminder for myself when you hear someone maybe going through a challenging time, you text him or you pick up the phone and call, because it made a world of difference to me. The day they filmed all the players coming off the ice, wishing me well, that is the best therapy you can possibly have. And it helps your healing process so much.
How are we feeling today? How's Lanny doing right now?
Well, you know, this darn snow kind of cut my walk in half. You know, I've been 2 weeks ago, I was averaging four and a half kilometers a day. The last 2 weeks, I've been up in seven, sometimes 8 kilometer range walking, trying to get my strength back because that's what they want you to do in trying to help recover. And it kind of put a damper on it. So I've been up and down the stairs in the house. I've walked 5 kilometers today. I'm not sure I'm going to get the other three in. But you know what? The farmers need the snow. So you know what? I'll just suck it up and walk more tomorrow.
That's awesome. And that's great to hear that it's ramped up like that. And I know that you've talked about this a few times now, but you know, I know that so many people in this city are going to be happy to hear your voice and to hear you on with us. Can you describe what happened that day from your recollection and what you've been able to piece together? Can you take us back to early February now that you've had some real time to reflect on it?
You know, I am, and I mean this sincerely, I am the luckiest guy. I got off the plane. I hadn't gone 200 feet. As the doctor said, if it would have happened on the plane or if I'd have got to my vehicle and they would not have had time to actually save me. And you talk about being in the right place at the right time and being extremely lucky that when I fell and went down, my legs just, I knew I was going down, and I called Ardell, and she didn't even get back to me by the time I went face first. I tried to reach for a railing on the side, and that was the last thing I remember, basically, for I woke up in the emergency, but to have a guy jump off the moving sidewalk and help roll me over, and the two nurses being right there to start CPR, and then the policeman shows up less than 2 minutes later to take over from the two nurses, and between the three of them really bring me back to life. I mean, I was, I think, halfway to heaven at that point, and to be able to have this conversation, even though it's still emotional, I, like I said, I am the luckiest guy you could possibly imagine.
Uh-huh. I got to say, hearing that, like, we knew how serious it was, and I read Eric's piece earlier, and yet to hear you say it, Lanny, it gives you chills to think about where it was and to hear you say it. How's Ardell been throughout this whole thing? Like, you go through it and she's right there by your side. How's she been throughout this last month and a half?
She is a rock. Between her and my kids and my grandkids, they are so strong, but Ardell sadly has had to drive me everywhere for doctor's appointments and everything the last while, because you can't drive when you have a defibrillator put into your body, which, if your heart goes below, I think it's 45, it will automatically shock you and bring you back. So modern technology never ceases to amaze me, but my family has been unbelievable. My daughters and my sons. I couldn't ask for more from my family. Looking back, I feel so badly that Ardell had to go through what she had to at the airport, and even watching the policeman basically break my sternum and ribs. But as the doctor told me later, that's the only way he saved your life. So yeah, my chest and my sternum, my ribs and that are still sore, but it certainly beats the alternative.
Yeah. Laddie, do you, it's funny because you talk to, you've done so many trips abroad and been around our heroes who are protecting this country and in the Canadian Forces. You've done so much with the alumni, with whether it's our great Calgary police officers or our firefighters, our paramedics. These people, they never want to take the credit for it. Do you make sure that you reach out to that officer and the two nurses? And like, for them, it's just doing their job. But for you, it's a whole lot more than them doing their job, right?
It is. And, you know, it's interesting. My daughter went out on day two to visit with the police officer doesn't want his name mentioned, just doing his job. It took us the longest time to find the nurses. We haven't been able to contact them. And I think they're in the same boat as the police officer, where the first responders between the nurses, doctors, and policemen that help save people's lives and make a difference every day. And they don't want any credit. They just, hey, we did our job. I can't wait to go out. My daughter is arranging for me to see the policeman. And I said to her, like, holy smokes, he must have been like 350 pounds and like about 6'7" to break me up the way he did. And my daughter laughed and said, no, Dad, he was probably smaller than you, built a whole lot better right now, but then you're 70. And kind of put it all into perspective that, you know what, he knew exactly what he was doing, had to do. In fact, Ardell asked him in the middle of it, do you have to be so hard? Are you like, can you not like take it easy? She thought he was punching all the way through to China. And he simply said, yes, it's what I have to do. So I have so many people to be thankful for, the people, the doctors and nurses in the air, in the hospital and in emergency. I remember waking up in emergency, and then I was only with it for a few minutes. And then basically I was awake for the next 4 days till the operation, and I don't remember basically anything. I had family come to visit. I remember my kids being there, but my sister-in-law, my brother came, don't remember them being there. So it was quite a journey. And to be able to thank the nurses and doctors and the policemen that help save people's lives each and every day. And maybe you mentioned going to Afghanistan. I have had this love affair with the Canadian Armed Forces, and I have always talked about them in all my speeches about what a great team they are, and every hockey team should go over or spend some time at the Armed Forces to see what it really takes playing together as a team. And it's taught me so much life lessons. And then looking back, you just realize how lucky you are to be able to keep doing what I did before and maybe be a little bit smarter and maybe not quite do as much as I used to. The tough part is asking people for help because, like, even I couldn't shovel the walk today. My dear daughter shoveled the walk, and to watch her shovel, drives me crazy, but I don't have a choice. And my son-in-law just texted me, "Hey, do you need the driveway shoveled?" And I said, "No, Anders already got it covered." And Richard, our good friend, plowed the driveway earlier today. So, yeah, there's so many good people out there. And I feel, like I said, the luckiest guy.
Lenny, it's Wes here. So good to hear your voice. I want to give you a chance to expand on something because I know from what I've read on social media and from your interview on the broadcast the other night, you've sort of compared the healthcare professionals and the first responders to sort of a team. You've learned a lot of teamwork from them as well. Where does that really shine through for you?
Well, when you think about what happened at the airport, the gentleman that helped roll me over, jumped off the moving sidewalk over a barrier to help Adele roll me over. The nurses are headed for a flight and stopped to help. And then the policeman, and it's amazing when I look back how many people played a part in it to give me a second chance. And you talk about a hockey team, and I'd like to believe I've been a team player my whole life. But this takes it to another level, and maybe I got an inkling of it when I was in Afghanistan visiting the troops. But how many people it took to help me through those first 2 weeks in the hospital was unbelievable. And, yeah, I'm kind of speechless. And then what happened at the rink the other night, I've cried. I'm a big softie. I've cried more in the last 5 weeks than I think I've cried my entire life. Being thankful.
I know you maybe haven't been able to cheer as loud as you're accustomed to in the last few weeks, but how's hockey and your favorite team sort of helped you through this part of it?
You know what? I still text back and forth with the guys. You talk about a great captain. Michael Backlund texted me off and on all those first couple of weeks through being in the hospital. Text me, the entire team text me and wish me a happy birthday on my birthday after being there for, I think, 11 or 12 days. But then both Michael Backlund and Jonathan Huberdeau and Oliver Shillington all text me after being at the game on Saturday night. Like, you talk about cool. Colin Patterson and I were so lucky to be able, the last couple of years, go on the dad's trip. We got to not only know the dads, but get to know the players even better. And to text back and forth with probably half of the team over the last couple of years, they know it goes nowhere. I try and give them not a pep talk, but just encouragement so that they can play at the top of their game. And to have them all wishing me well through this challenging time is powerful. And I can't wait to get back down to the dressing room, not to tell them how to play, just to say thank you and appreciate everything they are doing. I think Ryan Huska has done a hell of a job coaching, and so is Craig Conroy with the changes he was really forced to make. And like, I like where the team is at. Obviously, they wish they'd have won a few more games than they have right now. But you know what? I'll be a Flames fan forever, regardless of what happens.
It's been a fun group to watch, hasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. You look at young guys. My grandson, he's a Connors Connor Zary fan. You look at Pospisil, you look at how they have brought out the best in Nazem Kadri. You look at the young guys on defense who are playing great with Oliver back in the lineup and playing so well. He's probably the best skater on the team. He can lead a rush, and you know he's still going to get back. There's so many good things going on, and I've never seen – I tease Jonathan all the time to shoot more. He's got a great shot. He's so strong, but he loves to be the setup guy, and he passes when sometimes he should be shooting. But the goals that he has set up are, like, unbelievable. And so I keep telling him, hey, you're doing great. Don't change a thing. But I do tease him about shooting more. And we laugh about it. And, yeah, I love where the team is at. And Michael Backlund, that line with Mangiapane, Backlund, and Coleman, like, oh my gosh, they're supposed to be a checking line. Well, they're all plus, plus, plus players, and you can put them out against anybody, and they play their hearts out. You look at the three goaltenders now, and you look at Uyghur and Anderson on defense, and now with Oliver jumping in there, the new guys have great people to look up to, and I think there's going to be great things down the road for the team.
I know we were all thinking of you about 2.5 weeks ago when they raised Mika Kiprusoff's jersey up to the rafters. I know you would have loved to be there in person, but maybe a thought on the ceremony and how deserving Mika is to have his jersey now up there with yours and Mike Vernon's and Jerome McGinley's.
Well, I got to tell you, I would have loved to have been there. I did text Kipper. He wrote me back. He said some very nice things in his speech. I did watch the whole thing. I thought the entire ceremony was absolutely phenomenal. I thought the Flames did an absolutely awesome job celebrating Kipper and what he meant to the franchise, and to see his jersey go up there is so well deserved.
Lanny, we so appreciate the time, and I guess just one more to wrap it up with you. You know, after all of what has gone on and all of what you've experienced in the last month and a half, I honestly can't imagine the highs and the lows. Just what does it mean to be a part of the Calgary Flames family and the Flames alumni, and what does it mean to be a Calgarian and an Albertan? What do all of these things mean to Lanny now? We all know they meant a lot before, but here we are on March 20th. How much more do those things mean now to you?
Well, I think when you look back, I was worried when I got traded back here way back in November of 81, thinking, oh my gosh, can you actually go home? And you look what has happened over the last 40 plus years, and how I got treated when I got back here after the trade, and to be able to spend my life here in Calgary, win the cup with the greatest bunch of guys that we will be friends forever. And 35 years ago, can you imagine, who would have imagined that 35 years has gone that quickly? And to be able to still be here and cheer on my favorite team, and don't tell the Toronto fans that I like Calgary better, but hey, that's the way it is, and I love the Flames. I cheer like crazy every time I'm there, and can't wait to go back to another game here shortly.
We can't wait to see you at another game. We can't wait to see you at the next alumni event. It is so great to hear your voice. I know both Wes and I were beaming the entire time as a couple of Calgary boys born and raised. It's awesome to be able to chat with you today, and we mean that more than you know. Lanny, it's great to have chatted with you. It's great to have you here, and we'll see you down the road very shortly, hey?
Well, I look forward to it. And just before, I got to say, our alumni is, bar none, the best alumni in the league. I know a lot of the other teams believe theirs is. They're not even close for what the Flames alumni does each and every day in the community. We're so proud of it, and love hanging out and be a part of this great community. And it's why it means so much to all of us that the team does well.
Hear, hear. Thank you, Lanny. It's awesome to hear from you. Be well, hey?
All right. You guys take care. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. He's Lanny McDonald.
He's just Lanny.
That was pretty neat.
Just Lanny around here. Awesome.
Just gave me goosebumps as I was introing him, but he heard the chuckle in the background. I'm like, that's all I needed to hear. That was pretty neat.
Yeah.
So awesome to hear Lanny sound like Lanny. That was pretty cool.
If you missed even a minute of that, it'll obviously be up posted podcast. You really need to listen to the whole thing. Powerful stuff from Lanny on what he's been through, how he's doing today, you know, what the medical community and the first responders have meant to him, and some great insights on the Calgary Flames as well.
Thank you to Lanny. Thank you to Peter Hanlon, for helping make that happen as well. Lanny McDonald, the one, the only, joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. The best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or call them at 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Let's go inside hockey on this Wednesday edition of the program. Inside hockey for Calgary Co-op. It's that time to stock up for the celebrations that matter with ingredients that help make memories. Visit Calgary Co-op where life's in store. It's a Wednesday, which means we say hello to our Pacific Division insider, Jonathan Davis from NHL Network, to spin us around a very fascinating Pacific Division all of a sudden. Hello, JD. How are we today?
Pat, we are doing great on this fine Wednesday afternoon. We are, I think we're about, we're less than 24 hours away of getting in the car and going to Vegas for a couple of hockey games, Springsteen concert, and March Madness.
Ooh, that, hey, I know this well. There is not a better place. You know what? The game's live, whatever. You got to be in Vegas at a sports book for March Madness. There's nothing nothing else like it. I would vouch for that all day, my friend. Well, you mentioned Vegas. Let's start there, because boy, all of a sudden the Vegas Golden Knights are a very interesting team. They played their asses off on Tuesday night against Tampa. I watched that game almost start to finish. They probably should have beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. They didn't, and that just puts them in an even more precarious spot in the Western Conference.
It does. And you know, and it's one of those, Pat, where, you know, your goalie's better than mine, you win. And I don't know if Vasilevskiy was, you know, he was just better. And Aiden Hill was just not good. I mean, you hold the Tampa Bay Lightning to 20 shots, you should be able to win that game. And it was just a bad night for Aiden Hill. And you're right. I thought it was a playoff type game. That's I just kind of felt like it had that feel to it last night. I thought Vegas played really well, but their goaltending let them down. And now, you know, they are allowing the Minnesota Wild to be relevant. And, you know, they've got a game against Minnesota coming up on March 30th. Wow. That all of a sudden that game carries a heck of a lot more importance.
The Wild will play on Wednesday night against Los Angeles, which we'll get to. But if you're a Golden Knights fan, how worried should they be about how interesting the Wild have made this thing already?
Well, I think you have to be nervous. Because now LA is starting. You know, I mean, it's not like the Kings are playing excellent hockey right now, but they've got a bit of a cushion on the Golden Knights as it stands. And so, you know, they're picking up points and Vegas just is not picking it up. I'll say I was really surprised that they actually, you know, went with Aiden Hill last night against Tampa, because I know Bruce Cassidy has said it's going to be more of a split down the road, but I thought after Logan Thompson got that win against New Jersey, like, to me, give the guy another start. He hadn't played in forever. And he'll play tomorrow night against Seattle, but I don't know why you wouldn't have played him last night against Tampa. That one definitely caught me off guard, but yeah, what we're seeing, you know, Vegas is kind of like, in some ways, you know, how the Detroit Red Wings have allowed Washington and the Islanders and Buffalo to a lesser degree to become relevant. I mean, that's what Vegas is doing with Minnesota. And look, the Kings have a 5-point, what is it, a 5-point lead, I think it is. Just a 2-point lead on Vegas. But I think for them, they're probably more concerned. They want to push Vegas away as opposed to, they're not worried about Minnesota per se, at least not for now. Now, it does get interesting tonight. Like, Minnesota comes into Los Angeles and, you know, both these teams are on a back-to-back. Victor Arvidsson gets activated by LA tonight, so that should help this roster. But this, you know, look, the interesting thing, Pat, with back-to-backs, and you know, I make a lot of references from a betting angle, but I will say that here's a stat that if you're Minnesota, this is not a good night for you, because at least statistically, the way things have gone, Minnesota's an underdog tonight. The last 63 underdogs to play on a back-to-back have only won 17 times in the last 63 games. And I still think Minnesota wins tonight. I think they're the better team, but it's the back-to-back. Granted, this is not it's a back-to-back from Anaheim to LA, and since the Minnesota Wild, you know, made that trek at about, you know, 11:30 last night. It's about a 30-minute drive to downtown LA. as opposed to if they had to make it during the day and it would be a 2-hour drive, they could probably fly faster. They could probably check into the airport and freaking fly faster than that. But so I don't think it's a treacherous back-to-back. And LA's just, to me, Pat, you know, has got a lot of issues. It's a team that, here we are, we're 68 games in to the season, and I still can't tell you what the identity is of this team.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the impact of Arvidsson and what he could bring to the group as he comes back?
Well, they have missed him. I mean, this is a guy that I don't think gets enough credit for being a playmaker, as good a playmaker as he is. He lengthens the lineup. The interesting part will be is where, you know, where does he get slotted in? Because Kevin Fiala has played really well with Deno and Trevor Moore. And that was Arvidsson's spot when healthy. So, you know, does he get slotted with Pierre-Luc Dubois and you know, a guy like Alex Lafreniere or Laferriere? God, I keep thinking of the rain. Those guys are on the team. It's worse than the Ajos. It's almost as bad as both, you know, two Sebastian Ajos. So, you know, I'm thinking it's probably a third line. You know, the question also now for LA is that, you know, are they going to stick with this 11-7 format that they've been going with, because they pretty much refused to play Arthur Kaliev? So we'll see what happens. You know, I was one of my contacts with the Kings was going to text me, because Jim Hiller is meeting with the media as we speak right now to kind of give an update on the lineup. There is a potential that Alex Turcotte, who got hurt last night, could go on IR. And maybe if that's the case, maybe they go to 12-6. But, you know, this 11-7 format, it's what the Kings are just – that's what they seem to be going with because of their refusal to pretty much play Kaliev.
Yeah, which continues to be a very interesting story to watch as well. We're chatting with Jonathan Davis, our Pacific Division insider from NHL Network. NHL Network Radio joins us on Wednesday. Okay, so that's the Vegas-LA situation. They're separated by 2 points in the Pacific and in this wild card conversation. What's going on in Vancouver right now?
Well, you know, it was kind of an interesting stretch. You know, they're in a 9-game homestand. Pat, like, I know if you're home, you've got a 9-game homestand, over about 15, 16 days. I can tell you my wife would be sick of me if I was here that long. I'm sure all their wives, girlfriends are just saying, please get the heck out. They started off with the win against Winnipeg, very decisive win. That's the game that Demko got hurt. And then they just had a couple of stinkers. You know, they had the Colorado game. They had a couple of days off, I think, two or three days off from Winnipeg to the Colorado game. And you blow a 3-1 lead on home ice and just looked awful. They were awful in that game. Then you follow that up after getting 2 days off and you have a stinker against Washington. So when they came out last night, and I thought it was a really good performance against Buffalo, they definitely looked a lot better against a desperate Buffalo team. But I don't know. Schedule makers aren't doing a team a favor having them play 9 straight at home.
It does. Last week we talked about maybe Edmonton tracking them down. Do you feel like that is still something that might be in the offing, or what you've seen from Vancouver and the way they've bounced back maybe quells that a little bit?
No, I think it's still there. I mean, you know, look, you've got, you know, from when we spoke last week to where we are today, the Oilers gained 2 points. Not monumental, but they gained two. They didn't lose any, and they didn't, you know, it's not like the Canucks held serve. So, hey, you've got 3 games in hand. You've got an opportunity. Now, look, the Oilers' schedule, you know, their schedule isn't anything that is so easy. I think it's 15 games in the next 30 days. It's 6 games in the last 9 days. And taking a look at it, I think they've got a back-to-back coming up this weekend with Toronto and Ottawa. And I think they still have, just taking a quick look here, they've got 3 more back-to-backs, including one to close out the year. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's not an easy schedule, to say the least. And it's not like they're playing soft opponents. So it's not easy for Edmonton, you know, because you take a look, and they've still got Winnipeg. They've got the Kings a couple of times. They've got Dallas. They've got Colorado twice. Now, one of those games against Colorado is the final game of the year. So, maybe it means something, maybe it doesn't, you know. But it's not an easy schedule. Still, in saying all of that, there is, hey, you know, there is an opportunity for them. It's not over. Like, yeah. I don't, it's not over. And we'll see, you know, look, Vancouver bounced back last night, but, you know, they've had two good games and two bad games on this 9-game hope span. So I think it's too early to start saying, okay, they turned things, you know, they turned the corner after last night. I still like the roster. I mean, they're still look, they are so deep. And if they can survive, you know, Thatcher Demko being out, you know, all the power to him.
You are a gentleman who's known to make a wager here or there.
I've made a few. Yeah.
Would you wager the Oilers and Kings in round one, or would you wager the Oilers and Golden Knights in round one?
Would I wager the okay. Full disclosure, I actually made a wager on the Oilers about 2 weeks ago to finish first in the division.
Okay.
So, just because it was like 4-1, on the return. But to answer your question, would I wager? I would say it is more likely that we have an Edmonton LA, round one than an Edmonton Vegas round one, because look, the Kings still have, I think it's two more with the Ducks. They've got the Sharks twice. I think they may have Chicago once. I mean, their schedule is very favorable.
Okay. That would be a third straight year of the Kings and Oilers round number one. And I honestly, I don't like LA's chances any more this year I did last year.
No, I don't like them. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was interesting. Anze Kopitar got interviewed after the game by Carlin Bay, the Kings ringside reporter, and she was talking about, you know, hey, nice game tonight. You had the two goals, and it was refreshing to hear Kopitar say, reference the fact that they were lousy in the first period last night. And that's the problem. Like, this is where I'm just concerned with this team from a leadership standpoint, because there's just been too many games, even during Jim Hiller's time as taking over, like nothing's changed. Like you would expect there'd be games of desperation. And, you know, last night, you know, they survived a 1-1. They survived being tied 1-1 at the end of 20. But like their game in Chicago, you know, about 4 or 5 days earlier, they should have been able to stomp on that team. And maybe LA just feels that they're in the playoffs and there's not this big sense of desperation or urgency. I don't know what it is, but, you know, from the outside looking in, Pat, it's not, like I said, I don't know what the identity is with this team. You can see what other teams have. I don't know what this team has. And maybe they feel they can flip a switch come, you know, game 83.
Yeah, and maybe that works for them. I don't know. I mean, I honestly, I'd have no problem if they knocked off the Oilers in round one. I just don't know how likely I see that happening. So, great stuff as always, my friend. Should be a fun one Wednesday night, Kings and Wild. I'll have my eyes all over that one. I'm looking forward to watching that. We will check back in on this very interesting finish to the season in the Pacific Division when we reconvene next week. Thank you, JD.
Thank you, as always, Pat. Have a good one.
You too, man. And that's Jonathan Davis from NHL Network, NHL Network Radio. Joins us inside hockey for Calgary Co-op. Flames fans, meet Cal and Gary. Top products curated for Calgarians, and we mean every single one of you. Only available at Calgary Co-op. Visit them today. As we start to wrap up this hour on Flames Talk, Wes Gilbertson on Twitter, at Wes Gilbertson. That was a pretty neat hour. Good to check in with Lanny McDonald. That was pretty neat, and a spin around the Pacific to wrap it up.
Yeah, that was terrific.
And the Flames still don't play again until Saturday. We got more big picture things to focus on Thursday's program as well. And then on Friday, you know, it's going to Kuzmenko's return to Vancouver and Elias Lindholm's first game against the team. We'll have lots to talk about on Friday's program as well. So looking forward to the rest of the week. Wes Gilbertson on Twitter, at Wes Gilbertson. Thanks to Shan, our producer this hour. And that'll wrap us up on the Sports Drive. Brought to you by Calgary Lock & Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.